Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Recent violence and civil unrest in Haiti has prompted the departure of American missionary teams. Today, we welcome representatives from South Dakota's Mission Haiti to the SDPB Sioux Falls studio. We are joined now by Paul Parisian and Isaac Jorgensen for an update. Paul, Isaac, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having us. We're happy to be here.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Although maybe you'd rather be somewhere else. Tell us a little bit about Mission Haiti, first of all, and let's talk about the work that you've done over the years, because it's pretty incredible what you've already built.
For sure. Mission Haiti, we've been in Haiti in a community of Trois-Rivières since 1995, so more than 20 years now. And we mainly focus on education, medical clinic. We have an orphanage. And we also have evangelism as well. So we have over 2,000 kids that we have in our education program, and we run 6 schools. One of those school is a French and English school. So we have about 7 foreigners, 1 Canadian, and 6 American teachers, along with Isaac and his wife, my wife and I. My wife is from Sioux Falls. I was born and raised in Haiti, and our 2 daughters. So we have about 13 missionaries.
So this is a school built from the ground up, or these are facilities built from the ground up. Did you actually construct these facilities? Do you take on another organization's physical structure?
Yeah, so these are all schools that have been essentially started from the ground up. The French and English school, we started that one from the ground up, but then we have 5 other schools that we partnered with the directors of that school. They didn't have a building, they didn't have a way to pay their teachers, so we partnered with them, and we pay the salaries, we give the students lunch, all from people from South Dakota and Iowa, some Minnesota that sponsors those students.
All right. So is the town a place that you're going to find on a map? Where is it in Haiti?
Yeah, you can find it on a map. Okay. Haiti's kind of like a C, and we're at the bottom of that C. So you can find it down there.
Like a letter C.
Yep, a letter C, yeah. Backwards, actually.
How did you, Isaac, get involved with Mission Haiti?
I first got involved through Embrace Church here in Sioux Falls. So there was a short-term mission team going down, and my wife had visited in the past, and I was able to go with and spent 1 week there and fell in love and got to meet the kids that I had sponsored through my church and helped send to school, and then visited a couple more times, and there was an opportunity, an opening for a missionary couple, and my wife and I jumped on it.
All right, so in 1 week you fell in love with what? Why? What was the sort of the what really resonated with you so strongly that in a short period of time?
The realness and the relationships. There's not a lot of distractions. It's kind of like life here in America is very filled with a lot of distractions and things that take up your time that aren't necessarily down to the roots of why we're living and who we're living for. And when you're in Haiti, you really get, there are people living there that don't know what they're going to eat the next day, might not sleep under a roof, might not sleep in a bed, and it draws you to that. It's a very real place to be. Yeah.
Paul, you grew up in Haiti, did you say that?
I did.
All right, tell me earliest memories of Haiti. Little kid, Paul, what's he doing in Haiti?
Man, little kid, it was definitely 1988, ringing in 1989, and Haiti, New Year's is huge. Yeah. So we always drink a soup called soup jume, where it's a pumpkin soup. So I remember just going around and drinking that soup, celebrating the New Year.
Yeah.
Moved to the States in 96. In South Florida, myself and my 3 brothers and mom, we joined our father who was already there since 87.
All right. So tell me why everybody is home now. Talk about the civil unrest in Haiti. Give us a little political context.
Correct. So this is something that's been brewing for at about a year now. It's specifically in June, this huge throw of just people from, especially the youth, started asking for this money called the Petro-Caribe money. So the Haitian government made a deal with Venezuela to get oil for very cheap, and they would sell it to businesses in Haiti. Government would sell the oil to businesses in Haiti. They would not pay Venezuela that money back. Whatever money that they earn from those businesses, they would use that money to build up the infrastructure and the economy, build up schools. And that money went missing. Really nothing happened. Yeah. So in July, they started to have peaceful demonstrations that turned violent. So back in July, you had a lot of people that were also looting as well. Unfortunately, that's the only way that the Haitian people can get the word across is by demonstrating peacefully. Unfortunately, when you do that, you will have some other people that will take that opportunity to loot, and then it becomes dangerous. The president spoke, and he said that he's going to look into it. So an investigation pursued October, November, and then December, nothing came out, no answer. And then on top of it, we had a problem with our currency, the Haitian goud. Inflation is huge. So one U.S. dollar equals to 16 Haitian good dollars. So essentially, the money is not worth anything at all. So in early January, that started to make people ramp up again about the political corruption and also inflation. So about 2 weeks ago, a demonstration started back up, and we didn't have schools at all because everything was blocked. It's mainly in the capital city, but whatever happens there, it just infiltrates to our town. We had school one Monday, and we had to leave early because demonstration started in our neighborhood, just a roadblock with trees and tires burning, and our students was in a bus, and we couldn't get through so we could bring them home. So we had to get out, take out the roadblocks, and we couldn't have school for the next week and a half. We had shortage of water, diesel, and the president spoke, nothing good happened. And the U.S. Embassy put Haiti at a threat level of a level 4, which countries like Syria, Iraq, North Korea are in the same line with Haiti. So we felt as if it was time to send our missionaries back home so we can assess the situation and then hopefully see when we can go back.
How difficult was that decision? I mean, it seems like an easy decision because of the violence and the unpredictability, but it's probably not an easy decision because of the work that you're doing and the connections that you really have.
Yeah, it was not easy simply because that is our home, and we feel very safe in our community. We have great relationships with the surrounding villages that we serve. We are not in the Port-au-Prince. It's a very rural community that we're in, and it's our home. So is when the people you do life with are struggling through something, you want to be there in solidarity with them. So we have this privilege and the capability to leave a situation like this where our 180 Haitian employees, they have no place to go. I mean, they're going to battle through this, and we want to be there with them through that.
Are you in contact with some of those people?
We are. The beauty of internet, Facebook Messenger, and WhatsApp, we're able to communicate with them too.
Yeah. So I want to explore a little bit more about this school, because as I look on your Facebook page and watch some of the videos and stuff, this is a pretty advanced school. There's, you know, there's electronics and technology uses. There's, you know, school uniforms. The classrooms are full. Tell me a little bit so that people have this idea. You know, they're thinking Haiti, they're thinking school, but tell them what a classroom looks like and what instruction really looks like.
Correct. So we are very proud of that school. And it took us quite some time to think about it. And really think of how we want it to be. And it essentially serves as an example to our other 5 schools and also other schools in the neighborhood as well. What's great is that the English language is just, it's taken over. It's become the universal language. So having these teachers, these foreign American and Canadian teachers in a classroom with a Haitian teacher, so they team up and they split up instruction throughout the week where they teach in English and also in French as well. And the students have a bus, so they're not going to be late. We provide uniforms for the students for when their parents cannot provide it for them. We also give them a meal twice a day as well, because some of our kids, that's the only meal that they will get that day. So we try to essentially give them an environment where all they have to worry about is learning. Mm. And in Haiti, that is a very, very hard thing for the students to just have to worry about learning, because they don't have books, their parents cannot afford a uniform, their parents cannot afford lunch. So the education that these students are having, are getting, is an education where if they would transfer to a school here in the state, they would essentially be at the same grade level. And it's amazing. And I have two daughters. One of them will be 3 school year that's coming up, and she's going to be at that school. And I'm very confident that it is such a good school that I would send my daughters to that school. So we're very excited about it. We're very blessed to have young people from South Dakota, young teachers who are in their prime, 22, 23 years old, straight out of college. And instead of building their careers here, they've decided to go and go serve in another country, in a different land. But it just draws you in. Just like Isaac says, man, it just draws you in, because it is hard to forget Haiti once you've visited, and especially once you get an opportunity to serve short-term or long-term.
All right, so what happens now? Because the kids can't go to school. I mean, I think it was in the news just how often school has been interrupted in South Dakota because of snow, mm-hmm. and what that means mm-hmm. for instruction, and that instruction may be being extended into May a little bit. Missing school days is a big deal. Now you've shut down school and education. Talk about the potential impact of that on the kids.
Yeah, it is so unfortunate. Because already there's, just like snow here in South Dakota, if it rains in Haiti, can't have school.
It's a little different.
Rain day, yeah. Deluge day, yeah.
Are everywhere. So they've already missed so many days. And we pray to start school back up very, very soon. Even this week, we are trying to start back up again, because they need that normalcy. They need to return back to life. Just those kids, when we told them that we're not going to have school the next day, their faces just dropped. So we pray that this situation will continue to subdue. Hopefully in this week, we'll try to have school, and next week we can start back up. Then after that, there's Carnival, which is a very, very big party in Haiti. So they will not have school for another week in March.
But address that, because we haven't really addressed that yet, the sort of the cross-cultural education, because you're a faith-based organization.
Correct.
You're talking about Christianity. Correct. But you're also celebrating the Haitian culture and giving them that education, that cultural connection. Talk a little bit about the combination between Haitian teachers and American teachers and cultural
for
celebration.
Sure.
Yeah.
All our schools, we are a faith-based organization. Our mission statement is to love Jesus and love others and to make disciples. And through our education program, each one of our schools is a Christian school. And the academy, where the kids learn English and French, it is worked in every day in both languages. And in Haiti, Christianity is still, it's the number one religion. It's not a brand new idea that we're bringing into these kids' lives, but there are definitely different ways, and it's a different form than how we've gone to church here in South Dakota, for sure. We definitely praise our Lord a little differently, a little more subdued here in South Dakota.
A lot more drums, a lot more dancing. Ooh.
The school is pretty incredible because of that. Each classroom has a foreign teacher and a Haitian teacher working together. It's these kids grow up speaking Haitian Creole, and then they go to school and they learn French and English. So these kids are speaking 3 languages, getting our culture, their culture, all mixed into one with faith and the ability to be creative and play on a playground and to have food and resources and technology. It is a school that I've never seen anywhere else in Haiti, of that level of education and love that is shown to these kids. It's amazing.
When do you hope to go back? What do you, what, what is,
I wanted to mention this too. So Mission Haiti, one of the big things in Mission Haiti is that we have over 180 Haitian employees. So when we are gone, everything is still functioning. Okay. And the school is able to function minus the teaching of English. So that is why we were able to start school like yesterday with the French things and get kids back into the classroom. But Paul and I are hopefully going to go back Monday or Tuesday. But our teachers probably won't return until after Mardi Gras, beginning of March.
All right. Yeah. Lots of people from Sioux Falls have a connection with this organization.
For sure.
Mayor Paul Ten Haken recently returned. He has a longtime connection. You can find more at Mission Haiti on Facebook. Anywhere else you would like people to go?
Mission-Haiti.org is our website, too. Right. Yeah.
And Paul Parisen and Isaac Jorgensen, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time.
Thanks you very much. God bless you.